Welcome to Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
It is so good to have you here to be together on this Easter Sunday morning. It's a privilege, honor to share this time with you. And for those who are new here, welcome. We're so thankful that you're here. And, you know, on Easter, there's a lot of people that come, they're guests. We love that you're here. And I don't really know a lot about your story. I don't know how, you know, what it was like for you growing up, but for me, it was challenging. You see, my father was disabled when I was 10 years old. He would never work again. My mom drove school bus part-time, so we didn't have a lot of money. In fact, many times we were short on food. And that meant, for me growing up, I would never experience the kind of vacations that all my friends in school experienced. I mean, at spring break, you know, or at Christmas time, they would go to places that I would hear about. Florida, you know, like, what was that? And California, and they'd go to Hawaii. And they'd come back, and they'd say, Phil, someday you just got to see it. You just have to see the ocean. It's amazing. It's vast. It's beautiful. You have to see it. But I couldn't imagine it. I just couldn't imagine what an ocean actually looked like, to actually be there yourself and to see it for yourself. And so one day, my parents took me to the shoreline of Lake Michigan to give me just a glimpse of what an ocean looks like. It wasn't the ocean, but it gave me a taste, a foretaste of an ocean, and I could one day experience the difference between the two when I actually stood on the shore of the ocean when I was an adult. Well, today is Easter Sunday. And as we know, Easter is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And his resurrection would become like an ocean, an incredible ocean filled with the waters of grace and redemption and life for mankind. But to prepare his followers to both believe and embrace that ocean, the ocean of his resurrection, he took some of them to the waters of their own Lake Michigan, so they could better understand the significance of all that he was about to do and the power that it held for them and for all of us, to give them a foretaste of what was coming on down the road that would change everything. And this event took place in a town called Bethany. The encounter begins this way in John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. I want to pause there and just kind of ask this question. I mean, how should we respond when someone we truly love is sick or close to dying? How should we respond? Well, normally we're going to respond in some way. I mean, at the very least, we're going to send a text. We might make a phone call. Some of us will even send a card. Remember those things? Like you'd open up right inside, put them in the mail. You remember those? Others will even travel to where their loved one is so they can kind of be with them in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their pain. The bottom line, when somebody we love is sick or close to dying, we do something. And so what did Jesus do? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. What? I mean, if you look at the text, it clearly says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus so much, he did what? He stayed where he was for 2 more days. Let's be honest, that doesn't seem very loving at all. I mean, what if your best friend, maybe your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your spouse, they called you one day to let you know that their car broke down on the side of the road, they desperately needed your help, and you said, you know what, I love you so much, I'm gonna stay right where I am for 2 more days. They'd likely have some words they would use to describe you, but I'm guessing none of them would be loving. And that's how Mary and Martha felt. In their pain, Christ's delayed response only caused them more pain. And here's the thing. When we're in a painful situation, we can often miss really the greater story that God is writing in our lives. And this was the case for them. You see, what Mary and Martha didn't yet understand was that Christ was delaying his response for a very important reason. In fact, one verse earlier, Jesus tells us what's really going on. He said, the sickness will not end in death, No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And so Jesus was telling us that as a result of his delayed response, the outcome would be beyond anyone's wildest imagination. And even so, it seemed that nobody in that moment understood what Jesus was doing. Not at all. You see, just like we can be confused when we're waiting for God's move in our lives, his disciples were really confused. And so he tried to explain his actions to them. He said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." Now, we can kind of know that Jesus was basically saying, you know, well, you might think Lazarus is toast. You know, while his sisters might think he's going to die, he will not die. And even then, they didn't understand. They thought Jesus was going to travel to Bethany to wake Lazarus up from a really good nap. And so he finally looks at them and says, "Guys, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe." Key lines. "So that you may believe, but let us go to him." I don't know about you, but I find that really interesting because the disciples, they actually travel with Jesus pretty much every day for 3 years of time. And even so, some of them still did not fully believe in him. And yet Jesus told them that what they were about ready to experience would change everything. Well, as you know, if you kind of lead a team at work, or maybe you spend some time with your extended family, there's always like one Eeyore in every group. You know what I'm talking about? In this case, his name was Thomas. And after hearing Jesus say, "You know what you're about to experience is going to change everything," Thomas responds by saying, "Well, let us also go that we may die with him." He's a real pick-me-up. You know what I'm saying? You see, Thomas was more convinced by what he saw than what he believed. And what he was seeing around him was that it seemed like more and more people were starting to oppose Christ rather than follow Christ. It seemed to him that the heat was only getting hotter, and soon something was actually going to break. But the Bible tells us that Jesus finally arrived 4 days after Lazarus had died. And as he approached the house full of people crying, Martha, one of Lazarus's sisters, ran out to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You see, Martha was caught up in the land of if only. Many of us know that land. Some of us get caught up in that land ourselves when something that's related to us didn't turn out like we thought. And we'll think to ourselves, you know, if only I had done this, if only I had said that, well, things would be different. I think we actually silently say those words to ourselves more often than we care to admit. And yet in this case, Martha's words were not a private conversation she was having in her own mind. No, this was a very public statement she was making before anyone and everyone that was there. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Basically, she's saying, "Jesus, this one's your fault. This one's on you. If only you would have arrived here shortly after we sent word to you that he was sick and in trouble, you might have been able to do something. If not, at least you could have been here to comfort us as we watched him slip away. But now 4 days have passed. Where in the world have you been? Do you even care? What's wrong with you?" Friends, I keep learning that God's not afraid of our questions. He's able to deal with whatever is on our minds. And that's why if you take a look at the text, Jesus didn't scold Martha for suggesting that perhaps her brother's death was his fault. And the same might be for you. You might even have your own questions in your own life right now, even accusations when it comes to your life's current situation. You might wonder where God is in the midst of everything you're facing right now. So friends, here's one lesson. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing to ask these kinds of questions. It's just bad for us if we allow ourselves to get stuck there. Martha knew she was in a hard place, but she did not want her life to be defined by that moment. So she looked at Jesus and said, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what questions keep ruminating in your mind, but have you considered this? What might be possible in your life if you responded a bit like Martha? I mean, on one hand, she's shaking her fist at God and she's angry. And on the other hand, she's fully trusting in God. She's not giving up. And because of this, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." I don't know about you, but if I'm Martha in that moment, I don't know. That statement would have been a lot to take in. I would. I mean, it's no wonder she was confused. And so she responded, well, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, Martha thought that Jesus was referring to her brother's kind of future condition way on down the road, not his present condition. She thought Jesus was referring to some kind of spiritual matter, but not an immediate kind of physical matter. So once again, Jesus felt the need to clarify. And he spoke to her some words that day that have resounded through the last 2,000 years. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said, what? I mean, that's quite a question Jesus asked of Martha that day. And you have to wonder what her answer was. You see, Jesus didn't merely say that there is a resurrection. Jesus claimed that he is the resurrection. And the fact that he would soon rise from the dead was the guarantee that others could eventually rise as well. So here's our problem sometimes. We often think that this is the land of the living, where we prepare for the land of the dying. The opposite is actually true. This is the land of the dying, where we have the opportunity to prepare for the land of the living. So it's a huge question. A huge question he asked of her. How did she respond? Oh, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She basically looked at Jesus in that moment and said, you know, despite my situation, despite my pain, despite my loss, despite my questions, despite my fears, despite all my bitterness and all my frustration, I believe in you. I will trust in you. I will put my faith in you. So my answer is yes. I believe you are the resurrection and the life. Where are you in terms of your response? When it comes to your own life, are you in the confused stage? You're not really sure what to do with Jesus? Or are you in the angry stage? Like Martha, are you blaming Christ for the current state of your life? Or are you moving closer to the trusting stage? You realize that if you want full life, Jesus holds the answer. Well, at this part in the story, Mary, Martha's sister, finally left her home so that Jesus could see her and actually respond to her. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And this brings us to the shortest verse in the entire Bible. You see, even though Jesus knew that he was more than able, even though Jesus knew that he is the resurrection and the life, and even though Jesus knew that all their pain would be wiped away in just a few moments, Jesus wept. He wept. Here is Jesus, the very Son of God, attending the funeral of a friend, openly weeping, without embarrassment, without apology. In fact, those watching him in that moment said, see how much he loved him? Like I said earlier, I don't know the journey you've traveled. I don't. I don't know the level of pain in your life or the slightest detail of what you're facing. But I do know this. Jesus is more than able. Jesus sees your pain and he feels your pain. And through it all, he loves you. And that's why he looked at everyone who had gathered that day out of his love for them. And he spoke these words to them. Take away the stone. Take away the stone. Now, I don't know if you noticed the theme that seems to emerge before God steps in to change our reality. In response often to what God is about to do, we often launch our own doubt-filled response. I mean, sadly, we quickly come up with all the reasons as to why God's move just isn't possible right now. And in doing so, we become a little bit like Thomas, or in this case, a little bit like Martha. Because she said, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. It was Martha's way of saying, Jesus, thank you for your support, but let's not be unreasonable right now. My brother's dead. So let's just leave him there to be remembered and honored for the man that he was. You see, friends, Jesus is not interested in leaving things the way that they are. Jesus is not interested in meeting the low bar of our doubt-filled expectations, because after all, only he is the resurrection and the life. That's why we need to take a look at the text. He didn't pause for just a moment, not even a moment. In the face of Martha's doubt, instead he asked another question. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Friend, it's not my business to get into your business. It's not my place to question your questions or judge your response, but please hear me out. I believe that if you believe in Jesus, you will also see the glory of God. And that's why, despite their doubts and despite their pain, despite their confusion, despite the fact that they had never seen a dead man raised back to life again, they took action. And the Bible tells us they took away the stone. And by doing so, they slowly rolled away the stone of their doubt. That's right, the stone of their doubt. So how about you? What are you doing about that stone? I mean, what doubts do you have regarding Christ and all that he came to do for you? I mean, are you still contemplating that stone of doubt as it relates to God? Or are you actually defined by that stone of doubt as it relates to God? I ask because some people will face death themselves before they will ever remove that stone of doubt in their lives. So what are you doing with it? How are you responding? You see, the people in John chapter 11 decided to remove that stone of doubt. And this leads to the very next word found in verse 41, the word then. Then. You see, friends, after we remove our stone of doubt, then God can finally move in our lives. And that's why Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And a dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. A dead man had been raised back to life again. And not long afterwards, Jesus would be tried. Jesus would be killed on that cross, and Jesus would be raised back to life again. And this brings us right back to some things that Jesus asked earlier. Remember, Jesus didn't really say that there is a resurrection. He claimed that he is the resurrection, and the fact that he would rise from the dead was the guarantee that others could rise as well. So remember the question I asked you earlier? How should we respond when someone we love is sick or close to dying? Right now, I'd like you to consider how your answer might apply to you. Something off in your life? Are you spiritually sick? You know it. It's not right. Are you spiritually dying? If so, I ask you to consider how today, Easter Sunday, might also become your resurrection day. The day that you pass from death and you experience the eternal life that begins for every person who believes in him. Friends, it all starts with removing that stone of doubt in your life. And by saying, despite everything I'm facing, I trust you. I believe you. I'm putting my faith in you. Remember what Jesus asked? Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. Do you believe this? Martha's answer was yes. What is your response? See, friend, Easter is much more than just another great holiday. Easter is a day set aside every single year to remind us that because of Jesus, there is life. Because of Jesus, there is grace. Because of Jesus, there is forgiveness. And because of Jesus, there is hope and there is a future. Bottom line, Jesus is our life. And the ocean of his incredible grace, the ocean of his forgiveness and his eternal life, it awaits you. Will you bask in it? Will you believe in him? Will you say this prayer with me with all eyes closed right now? You might say this quiet prayer between your heart and God's heart right now. You repeat after me and say, Jesus, I've been wrestling for a long time now. Often I've been angry at God, silently angry with myself, frustrated, feeling detached from you, from others. Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for me on the cross. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself. And thank you for rising again so that if I put my faith in you, I can experience the eternal life you hold for me. And so today, on Easter Sunday, I want to mark the moment and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I put my faith in you. Jesus, I put my hope in you. So please wash away all my sins. And Lord, give me the strength to follow you every single day of my life so that I can become more and more like you. Help me to love you more. Help me to love others more. Help me to live as a child of God. Jesus, I know that all of this is possible because only you are my living hope. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.